So the title of my talk this morning is What Goes Around Comes Around. You may have read it already, I guess. It may not come out exactly the same as I shared on the bulletin. But a more scriptural title would be Give and It Will Be Given to You. And that comes from Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, if you'd like to look it up later. So a message for Shoebox Sunday. I was inspired by one of my daily readings from the Word for Today magazines that we use and are available here in the chapel. There are still some left. Please take one if you've not already been able to do so. At the time, I was not aware that I'd be speaking this week as our friend Reverend David Cook was down to come. I was just going to lead the service, but in the end he had to attend a family birthday party in London, so he was unable to join us, which was a shame, of course, but I understood. This theme of giving then and receiving seems appropriate for the week that we bless the shoeboxes. And for the benefit of friends who will be listening later online, we have a small group of ladies known as Busy Bees, who for many years now have gathered items throughout the year and covered the boxes, so that when the time comes around in October, a lot of the preparation has been done and it takes them just a few days to fill the boxes with prescribed items for boys and girls and different age groups. This year, I think they've filled over 120 boxes and some more have been given, and they are all ready to go down to the warehouse in Evesham and then on to Eastern Europe, either Moldova, Georgia, Bosnia, Belarus or Romania. I've been privileged to offer a blessing on these boxes to those who have packed them and contributed in any way, and of course to the children who will receive them. We've seen a video of the enormous joy of the children receiving and opening their boxes. It's very moving and a real privilege to be involved in this worthwhile mission with Teams for You. Don't know if you're aware of this, but giving is good for your health. I'm told, or I've read, it lowers your blood pressure, it reduces depression and stress. Giving increases your self-esteem and happiness and even gives you a longer life. So no wonder then that God loves a cheerful giver. And Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's quite a statement when you see the joy on the faces of these children. They're surely blessed by receiving. But Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. In the late 19th century, a member of parliament went to Scotland to make an important speech. He travelled to Edinburgh by train, just as many have been doing recently, then took a horse-drawn carriage southward to his destination. But the roads were bad, and the carriage became mired in mud. A Scottish farm boy came to his rescue and helped to pull the horses and the carriage free. The member of parliament asked the boy how much he owed him. Nothing, the lad replied. You sure? The politician pressed, but the boy declined payment. Well, is there anything I can do for you? What do you want to be when you grow up? And the boy responded, I want to be a doctor. The member of parliament offered to help the young Scottish lad to go to the university, and sure enough, he followed through on his pledge. More than half a century later, Winston Churchill lay dangerously ill with pneumonia, stricken while attending a wartime conference in Morocco. A new wonder drug was administered to him, a drug called penicillin that had been discovered by Sir Alexander Fleming. Fleming was the young Scottish lad who had come to the aid of the Member of Parliament, who was none other than Randolph Churchill, Winston Churchill's father. What goes around comes around. Give, and it will be given unto you. Jesus told the truth when he said that. So when God tells you to sow seeds of kindness, like packing shoeboxes, it's because he has a harvest of blessing waiting for you somewhere along the road. I want to ask a question now. Do we have to receive before we can give? We can give, perhaps we do. We can give in at least three different ways. We can give our resources. John Wesley used to say, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. We have been grateful for the gifts of money, and I received some more this morning, which cover the cost of transporting the shoeboxes. Without that giving, it would be impossible to carry the mission through. Without that support, the boxes would not reach the children. So we give of our resources. Secondly, we can give of our time. We have all been given that precious gift. We're enjoined not to waste it. In the Bible, we're exhorted to redeem the time. It is a gift from God. Remember, lost time is never found, and time in this life is finite. I'm reminded of an old poem. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamt and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon shall I find, in travelling on, time gone. I think of the time that has been lovingly spent in preparing, covering, and packing these boxes. Love in a box, indeed. Thirdly, we have all got God-given talents and skills. Very varied, very different. But we are all good at something, and that something can be a blessing to others. Coming back to the question, do we have to receive before we can give? We have been given resources, we have been given time, and we have been given talents. We have all received from God's hand, and so we can give. And that's why we had that hymn. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. And that is why we've once again heard the wonderful story of the Good Samaritan. He gave of his resources. He paid the innkeeper and would have paid more if necessary. Had some in reserve. He'd saved. He had oil and wine and a donkey, and he made them available. He used his time. He made time to rescue the unfortunate stranger when others passed by on the other side. And he used his talents. He knew how to respond to this emergency, and he knew how to treat this man. He uses his resources, he uses his time, and he uses his talents. Before a final story, I want to focus our minds on the greatest gift that has ever been given, the gift of Jesus himself. We all know the story so well, but it's good to be reminded of it. John 3:16, possibly my favourite verse in all Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We will soon celebrate once again the Christmas story, how Jesus came into our world as a baby, born in Bethlehem to a virgin mother and laid in a manger. Truth, it is said, is stranger than fiction. You just couldn't make it up. Then fast forward to Easter, and we will remember the passion of our Lord, when in the words of the old hymn, there is a green hill far away outside a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who dies to save us all. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. I loved Stephen Blake's little testimony in his message last Sunday. Those of you who were there along the road, or you may have read it on the connected to the bulletin. He said, so to hear a preacher explain for the first time in my hearing that new life in Jesus Christ was a completely free gift that I didn't need to work for was doubly astonishing. Surely you get what you earn. No. On Jesus Christ, I get what he earned. The slog was over. Faith was a gift. I merely had to accept it, and I did so with both hands. Very brief but moving testimony, I felt. Christians don't perform, we don't perform deeds of kindness to obtain salvation, but from thankful hearts, because we have already received through faith the free gift of life which Jesus paid for with his own life on Calvary. We love because he, Christ Jesus, first loved us. The shoeboxes show to those children who will receive them, who have so little, that someone cares, someone loves, and someone cares. I believe that sooner or later they will live to learn about the love of Jesus Christ, who is waiting to come into their lives. So I finish with a story which shows how that transforming love can even save lives. Years ago, Eileen's preacher minister noticed the family standing in front of him at a New Orleans convenience store. They didn't have enough money to pay for their few items. He tapped the man on the shoulder and said, "You don't need to turn round. Please accept this money." The man took the money without ever seeing the preacher. And 9 years later, the pastor was invited to speak at a church in New Orleans. After the service, a man walked up to him and shared this story about how he'd come to faith in Christ. "Several years ago, my wife and our child were destitute. We had lost everything. We had no jobs, no money. We were living in a car. We also lost all hope and agreed to a suicide pact, including our child. However, we decided to first give our son some food, so we drove to a convenience store to buy him some food and milk. And while we were standing there in line at the store, we realized we didn't have enough money to pay for these items. But a man behind us asked us to please take the money from his hand and not look at him. This man told us that Jesus loves you. So we left the store, we drove to our designated suicide site and wept for hours. We couldn't go through with it, so we drove away. As we drove, we noticed a church with a sign out front which said, 'Jesus loves you.' We went to that church the very next Sunday, and both my wife and I were saved that day. He then told the pastor, 'When you began speaking this morning, I knew immediately that you were the man who gave us that money.' How did he know? You'll like this, Jill. The pastor was from South Africa, and he had a very distinct accent. He continued, 'Your act of kindness was much more than a simple good deed. Three people are alive today because of it.' What goes around comes around. Or give, and it will be given unto you. May all who listen to these words, both in the chapel this morning and later on online on our website, and those who've read these words on the chapel bulletin, be challenged and encouraged to give cheerfully, generously, and even sacrificially, and in the name of Jesus. Amen."